Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Wanda and Agnes from WandaVision. Those bitches were in love. I don't care what anyone says. She was rebounding and obviously fighting with her evil ex, and also she's a little evil, so everybody's a little toxic, just the way kind of everyone is right now in pandemic. So shout out to Wanda and Agnes. Y'all were the best villains to slightly dating to back to villains kind of story. I'm into it. And if y'all didn't watch it, you didn't miss out on all that straight mess, but it was cute.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, so we'll see.
Very straight.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What's goody?
Stuff? I don't know. The weather's kind of nice over here. Post-earthquake. So.
Post-earthquake. Yeah. You're alive.
Yeah. Nothing happened, really. It's just scary. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just, like, it's scary. It doesn't actually do anything. Nothing falls. It's okay.
I mean, I'm sure, like, it's still just, like, a reality check, that a reminder that you live somewhere where, like, it's destined to just fall off. So that's kind of scary to me. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's weird. I ended up, like, at 4 in the morning talking to all of my roommates in a group text, like, for, like, 20 minutes, just, like, talking shit about earthquakes. Very comforting stuff. Shout out to Earthquake Twitter.
Earthquake Twitter. Gotta love it. So yeah, we're back finally. That was my bad, y'all, but I am not, and I have not been okay for a while, so I'm dealing with my own stuff and things that are bigger than all of this, and I feel like the snowstorm, like, triggered a lot of stuff going on in my head, that, you know, and the whole copay situation with my insurance and dealing with how much therapy costs in Texas and trying to find a queer therapist in Texas. That's mighty expensive right now for me. So I have been trying to find alternatives for me. So if you guys have any alternatives for cheaper therapy, please DM me, please message me. I need that. But yeah, I've been just, I don't know, dealing like everyone else during the pandemic, and I have not been right. So I'm just trying to get right. So
appreciate the honesty. That's really cool. I feel like I'm in Decolotus Radio, Eva's Corner, self-care right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been pretty, my mental health has, like, really not been good, and I'm just trying to make sense of it and make peace with a lot of other things going on inside myself right now. So I want to say I'm sorry to Maita and to y'all, so it's been a while. But yeah, like, your girl ain't been okay, and I'm kind of everyone else's therapist, but what do you do when you need one? So I need to, I can't do, like, the text messaging kind of therapy shit, because it's like, I don't know where to start. There's just too much there. So yeah, I'm working on it, y'all. I'm not always right, but I'm trying to get there. So here I am. We're back, and we're going to stay like that for a while. So
yeah, I mean, respect. You just reminded me of, like, a lot of stuff that, functional is gonna, not to give spoilers, sorry Daniel,
but oh yeah,
a lot of stuff that's gonna be covered in season 2 and functional, and I think it's gonna be, like, really great for people to see, because it's kind of that, right? It's like self-care after the chaos, and they shot a lot of really cool stuff with people that we've kind of partnered with, like Psychosocial, and mm-hmm. just really cool stuff. They're, like, you know, trying to hook people up with queer therapists and stuff like that. And yeah, but that's what I've been up to. Freaking 2 months.
That's badass.
Of long days, long weekends of shooting season 2. I went on board as script supervisor and a sound operator this season. It was a lot of work, a lot of stress, a lot of really good times, and a lot of just hard work, guys. Like, hard work that is gonna be really worth it. It was a reminder of why I'm here, and it was, like, really great to be around people during a pandemic for the first time, like, to that extent, masked up and stuff. And I also got to act in, you know, again, and this time it was like in a role that I really, really, really love because it's like a Latina, and I felt like I was a part of this like family. You guys are gonna fucking love this shit. It was a standalone episode type of deal where with a really Latino family, and it was just kind of an honor. But yeah, you're gonna see me with my blue hair.
Ooh, that's exciting. Wait, you have blue hair?
Yeah. I just felt like my character wouldn't be blonde. So I did some
stuff. Okay. But I forget you are blonde.
Yeah, kind of. It goes away. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. It's been busy. We've kind of like, we're almost done. But right now I'm not doing a whole lot of that. Yeah. So I hear that we're both half vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm a Moderna mommy, I guess. I don't really prescribe to that gender, but like, sure, I'll take it. It doesn't fucking matter. I'm a Moderna mommy, and I'm gonna get my second dose this week, so I'm excited to re-enter society, as awkward as it will be. And I still hate like being around a lot of crowds, so if I go somewhere and I see a crowd, I leave. Honestly, like, I've left so many situations where I'm just like, I'm not getting out of my car. Fuck that. What about you?
That's completely fair. I feel really uncomfortable being around people. I just got my first dose last week, so I still have a few more weeks before fully re-entering society. But I will be able to do it in time to go home and safely see my also vaccinated mother in Texas. So that'll happen in May.
Oh, in May? That's exciting. Is your whole family, is like your mom and your brothers, is everybody on their way to getting vaccinated?
You know, I should probably talk to them about that. I really just keep up with my mom. Yeah, but I know that like they're definitely, you know, pro-vaccination, you know?
So, yeah, I've met a lot of people in Texas that are like, I'm not getting that thing. And I'm like, well, then good luck to you because I'm going to be wildin'. And if you're around me, figure that out. That's on you. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna, well, by wilding I mean like be around some people versus my current, I mean, it's making me a little crazy, honestly. So I just had to, I've seen a couple people that have been vaccinated and just like maybe in small enclosed spaces with doors open and stuff, but I haven't been out seeing a lot of people, and it's probably, yeah, it's not good. It makes you a little crazy. So, I don't know. Go see people at parks and stuff, but I don't know. I'm still kind of nervous about it. We'll see. I hope y'all get vaccinated. I hope y'all guys aren't anti-vaxxers. And if you are, well, good luck to you. I hope you figure that out. yeah. I don't know. It's hard, but yeah.
I wanted to be a Johnson & Johnson, hold that, but it didn't work out. I'm a Moderna, too. It's fine.
You don't get a pick. Yeah, you just kind of, like, you get what you get. Because everyone I know has, my girlfriend got Pfizer, so she's feeling a lot safer than me by a couple percent.
she's feeling bougie as hell, walking around like she owns the place. I get it.
Yeah, because they got Pfizer, and I'm like, okay, it's fine. It is what it is. But yeah, I guess we're Moderna mommies.
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever.
You're like,
I don't love it either.
But yeah, so.
But that's cool. But
yeah.
In more world news, currently being put on trial is Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. I have to say, you know, as much as I was, back when we were still recording, you know, I was very, like, watching CNN every day, keeping up with everything. At some point, I just kind of stopped right around the time that we went on hiatus, and I don't know what's going on literally with anything except for, like, vaccinations.
Dude, yeah, welcome. Welcome to, like,
escapism.
Wonderful delusion. Dude, all I know, the only reason I know about that is because of Twitter, because I looked at it right before we got on here. But I've been living in a, like, this is the only way I can kind of function now, is that I've just been living in delusion. You know, it's been great. You know, I just watched California Love 84 videos, and I listen to my K-pop and do my little dances and mind my business.
Did you say that you do little dances?
Yes, dude. I've taught myself choreography. Deadass. Like, I don't know if I'll ever make a TikTok embarrassing myself, but
you
I just
have
told
to. I do it all the time.
Okay, well, I'm gonna teach my straight friends K-pop choreography and see how that goes.
That would be funny.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, because I got Glow doing the choreography with me. She's doing pretty good. You know, we're doing it. But yeah, fully live in your delusion, dude. I have no idea what's going on in the world. I know the weather, and I know that I touch grass every day. And dude, I saw a butterfly. I saw a big-ass monarch butterfly, and I almost cried. Just to let you know how much I don't give a fuck about anything anymore, I just saw a butterfly, and I was like, wow, this is everything. This is good stuff. So...
All right. Monarch butterflies.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah. But I still watch gay things, but just, you know,
critical lens gone. I wasn't even watching anything gay. Like, in preparation for this episode, of course, I did. I finally watched all these things I've been avoiding. but up until that, I was literally binge watching, and don't judge me for this, I was binge watching SVU so much that I somehow caught up on a 22-year-old show.
Good job.
It was like
no judgment, dude. I do K-pop choreography. I would never judge you for at least just watching a TV show. Like, no, that's totally normal. You're caught up on 22 SVU. Seasons.
Yeah, so I caught up, and finally when that was over, I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch other stuff. So I watched what we're gonna cover today, and yeah.
Ooh.
I also watched that show Ginny and Georgia, which, like, I hate to say how much I liked it, as like bad as it was in certain parts of it. All the judgment about it is valid. Listen to it. It's true. I still really fucking liked it.
Oh shit, okay, I'm gonna need your hot takes on that, because all I saw was one very bad clip, and someone was like, you can tell when white people write things, and I was like, damn. Yeah. But you can tell
100%. Oof. Absolutely.
And that goes for what you're covering today too.
Yes, absolutely.
And what I'm covering as well, honestly, it's a lot of you can tell.
Yeah, I agree. But, well, why don't we just get into it? I think we're going to have to talk about Ginny and Georgia another day. This is a long-ass banter.
And, yeah, I'm sorry.
It might even, honestly, I kind of want to see what, like, if you do end up watching it, if you'd want to cover it, because I think it would be worth talking about.
I'm into it. I literally don't have anything to do, and I'll fully dive into some delusional things. Just, you know, escapism. Let's do it. But, yeah. So, what I'll be talking about today is our... very, oh god, how can I put this movie? Hashtag girl boss in 2021. I'm gonna be covering I Care a Lot. movie.
Have you seen Promising Young Woman? Just curiosity.
Not yet, because it was very expensive on okay, y'all, I still have Amazon Prime. It was very expensive on Amazon Prime, so I didn't want to rent or purchase that movie. I wasn't sure about it, but yeah. Have you?
I did watch it. I didn't pay for it. We're not gonna talk about that though. After watching I Care a Lot, did you already say that that's the name of what you're covering?
Yes,
that's
what I'm just covering. You're good.
Yeah, Promising Young Woman, I now understand the comparisons. I'll tell you that. It's definitely like,
ooh,
the, you know, like, they want to do the taking back femininity, taking back the patriarchy thing, and I'm like, not sure I'm digging it. Yeah. It's definitely like misses the mark on some parts. It's definitely overrated, but I definitely want to talk about it, so let's get into it. Let's get into I Care a Lot.
Okay, let's do it. So y'all, if y'all didn't know, I Care a Lot came out on Netflix this year. Not too recently, it's been a minute. It's directed by Jay Blakeson, and yes, that is a white dude. And it stars Rosamund Pike, Isa Gonzalez, Peter Dinklage, and also Miss Diane Wiest as Jen. She's also in this. She's iconic, and honestly, Peter Dinklage and Diane Wiest were like the entire reason why I got through this movie. because this is like the movie. This is the hashtag girl boss movie. You know, like, there's that meme going around that's like, give me the serenity to gatekeep, give me the something else to like be a girl boss and gaslight. And that's
gaslight with all the feminine power of the universe.
Yes, dude, it's just, this movie is just like the feminism and the representation that, I mean, it needs to exist because it's very real, it's there, but also it's just like cringe to watch sometimes, because you know, representation is a trap, you know, let's have more, you know, evil women in power. Let's show, you know, that women can also be total assholes and corrupt fucking, I don't know,
they
assholes.
They turn themselves into the patriarchy and,
yes, white women in the
because
patriarchy.
That's winning,
the same.
I guess.
Yeah, hashtag goals and hashtag winning and hashtag Facebook kind of shit.
We girls can do it all.
Yeah, girls can, you know, be capitalist CEOs and fucking warmongers just like everyone else. Let's see it. We need the representation. fuck. So, Rosamund Pike, you might know her from Gone Girl. She plays kind of a similar character from Gone Girl to this movie. This kind of, like, amoral character who's getting her revenge on the patriarchy by becoming the patriarchy, by buying into the system completely. So much so that I'm not really sure what she's mad about at any point in this movie. But okay, I guess. So she plays Marla, a state guardianship. She's causing state guardianship fraud. It's a real thing in American society where anyone who is past a certain age and is deemed to not be able to take care of themselves by the state is given a state guardian. And she uses that to steal every elderly person's money, because that's what we love to see is
ageism.
Yeah.
Shit. I was mad.
Ooh, we were so mad. I haven't met someone that actually enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed the
movie. There's parts of it. Yeah, yeah.
But I hate her as a character. The movie itself is entertaining because I learned something new, right? Like, I didn't know that, you know, when you're rich enough or you're poor enough, you can be appointed someone by the state and they can take everything from you. And lovely, another thing to look forward to. But guess what? I don't have money, so I don't have to worry about that part. And honestly, I think this movie was like an indirect criticism of late stage capitalism. it's like the and this is what's actually said in the movie. I think, I don't know if it's on purpose. I don't know if they're actually trying to critique capitalism, but I think it is. She created this whole enterprise that's a perfect example of the American dream. It's a literal quote from the movie. So she's found a way to scam old people, make a whole entire company off of it, and she somehow got the government to also join in, because that's how capitalism works. You can't have a CEO without exploitation, and you can't exploit people without the help of government. So shout out to this movie for getting all of those things correct. And there's a lot of things happening. You know, you're fucking taking advantage of one of the most vulnerable minorities. Not the most vulnerable minority, but it's up there. Because, you know, being old in America is not seen as anything deemed of, like, respect. Like, you grow old in the United States and fuck you, right? If you can no longer work and produce and give to capitalism, they're going to try to take from you, honestly. So this movie is a perfect, perfect example of that exploitation. And Marla's character just happens to exploit the wrong old lady. And that is Miss Diane Weist. I have a feeling I'm saying her name incorrectly. And she's actually like a very awesome actress. So no disrespect to her. Peter Dinklage plays her son, who is getting revenge on Miss Marla, and well-deserved. Honestly, he sucks just as much as her, but he's doing the illegal kind of, you know, illegal fraud, illegal scamming. She's got a very legal scam going on her end. So you see these two polar opposites. But one thing that I did notice with these characters, and I thought it was interesting, is that Marla, another reason why we probably hate Marla so much, other than she absolutely sucks, and every single moment of this movie, I was just waiting for her demise, because she's terrible. And she's also kind of annoying because she's vaping throughout the whole movie. And I'm just like, wow. Can you find more ways?
Like, oh, this white woman is smoking a cigarette. She's so bad. It's like now she has like this fucking big ass, like phallic, like fucking vape. Yeah.
Dude, yes. And like, I just make her more unlikable. I don't know what it is about like people who vape. I know people who vape in real life, and it's no, you know, I'm not, no shade for that.
You vape, bro?
It's just, yeah, you vape, bro? Like, it's, you get a vape, bro, and you make her a woman, and you also happen to make her queer. Which honestly, I wasn't mad at her queerness. I felt like that was
it's fine. Ooh.
No, tell me, what was that?
Oh, like I just remember thinking throughout the movie when I watched like the queerness and like how like whatever, like it wasn't something that was even talked about, right? But I just remember thinking like, oh, they're like fully going into the lesbians are evil trope, like purposely, like so hard that you can't even stop and think about it. No, they're exactly. Actually kind of cute together, though.
No, yeah, and they are cute together, but I found that strange. I found this, like, disconnect between Marla and Fran's love and who Marla was as a person. Like, Marla was this amoral character who yet still had love. I guess that goes for Peter Dinklage's character as well, Roman. He still cared a lot about his mother, Jennifer. Which shows that, you know, amoral characters can still love things, but I find that hard to believe. You know, I find people who are sociopaths and exploiting and treating people as objects, I find it hard for them to actually, hard for me to believe that they actually love something. So I thought that was strange that they were fighting so hard for these people that they love, yet they were both at the heart. Both Roman and Claire were both deep inside themselves, were just completely amoral characters that had nothing that they believed in other than money. So, I don't know. It gave me very much, like, Jeff Bezos vibes, but, like, he loves something? I'm confused. Like, I don't think he does.
You're right. But what's funny is that was mm-hmm. probably, like, the most realistic thing ever. I was just having this conversation not too long ago with one of my roommates, and because we've both worked for like CEO level people who are assholes. Mm-hmm. Like they don't care about their employees, they don't care about anything that doesn't bring them profit or like success, but they always have this chosen thing, and it's usually the wife, the kids, like these chosen objects, these chosen people that they're like, everything I will do will be for them, and that's where all of my love will go. And everything else, they compartmentalize into, like, this nothing that they care about. They care about money. They care about these select people. And that's what, like, these modern-day, like, really functioning, like, sociopathic people kind of are. And that's why they're CEOs. And that's why it's ruthless. So it's actually very realistic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that seemed right. But at the same time, I was just like... It sucks because it's just our reality. It's like, oh, wow, I'm watching... Like, anyone, any CEO of any company just, like, doing things and exploiting everyone around them. And I'm just like, I don't understand, like, these characters. Like, I do, but I guess it's hard to sit with because a lot of our expectations of women, that's still very important. That's still why I probably hate Marla more than I hated Peter Dinklage's character because
they show her victims.
Yeah, they do show her victims.
They show him. Who she's hurting. They're like, these are all the consequences of all the horrible things she's doing. And you never see Peter Dinklage do anything other than try to get his mom back.
Which, I mean, who wouldn't? Like, you're made to kind of side with him at every point of this movie. Every time that she does something more horrible to Jennifer, to Roman's mother in this movie, you're just like... what keeps you in the movie, what keeps you watching it is that you just want to watch her get fucked, like fucked over. I just want her to get shot into space and I'm waiting for it, right? Because who's into watching Jeff Bezos come up? Like, I don't want to watch a movie about Jeff Bezos and how he got super wealthy. Like, fuck that. Like, when does this bad guy get his comeuppance, right? So you spend the entire movie waiting for that moment. And instead you just get like... her come up, you know, you get how like Jay-Z turned like 22 bricks into his like business, right? Like like it's every like mob movie, every CEO's like there's like two ways to the top, and it's I think you have to already have a shit ton of money or you have to do something super illegal to get there. And Marla's proving that you have to do something super illegal to get into that 1%. And I don't know her character, it was a reminder that like it's harder to see women be assholes in some ways because we're so programmed to see women in society as, you know, not that kind of person. We see them as caregivers and saints and shit, you know? We don't see them as, like, vape bros who are, like, CEOs and fucking basically ruin people and murder people very slowly and cruelly. But I mean, it's not that it's not true. It's super true. It's existing. But I think in media, it's not as represented. It's not as represented. And giving us an unlikable fucking queer lead was mad annoying. And I was like, oh, man, I don't even like Fran. I just don't understand any of these characters. And but I'm okay with the movie itself. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad that, like, I'm glad I watched it. I love the ending. A lot of people maybe were upset because it doesn't give you that traditional American ending. Yeah, actually, it's nothing American about that ending. It was actually great, fantastic, 5 stars on the ending. I think I clapped. I think I was fuck yeah.
Did you ever see that other Netflix movie, White Tiger? I think it's called White Tiger.
Oh my god, White Tiger.
Very similar, like, vibe. It's almost like a new trope, though, right? Like, but they didn't, I feel like they didn't really expand on I Care a Lot in the same way that they did it in White Tiger, but it's the same thing. It's like, these people are, like, you know, like, working their way up, and they turn into something evil. Like, that's the thing, right? And they have to do evil to get there. It's almost like the fucking Illuminati shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's White Tiger. Honestly, though, White Tiger, I can't, I wanted to compare them in my mind, but I guess I related more to White Tiger, not because I have that situation, but at least some of his behavior.
You saw his stuff. You saw his past. You saw the shit that happened to him. We didn't get that with this character. This character in I Care a Lot was like, you know,
here's this character to hate.
Yeah. Defined by her actions. You know, and these, like, few words that were kind of empty because there was no context.
Nothing.
She wasn't given very much to like, and I'm sure we would have, like, you could have made this exact same movie and had a completely different feeling about it if you had put that in, if you had, like, put in all the awful things that Peter Dinklage's character does. You know, they made these choices for a reason. Like, it's almost like the patriarchy made this movie.
The patriarchy did make this movie, though.
A white man movie,
A white man wrote the screenplay and directed. Jay Blakinson did both. So, to me, it's an interesting critique of, like, feminism. And he said that he made this movie because he knew a lot of women like her. And he felt like they needed to be represented. And I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, you did this on what? This isn't because, like, satire? Like,
his admiration of women who do horrible things?
Yeah. And Rosamund Pike, in a lot of interviews, was like, well, you know, she was just like, you know, she just worked really hard and blah, blah, blah. Hashtag girl boss. Hashtag white feminism. And I was just like, I can't. Like, you just said you related to the sociopath. Like,
that's her, like, job as an actor. I try to take those things, like, in a fucking, like, as with a grain of salt, because they have to get in those heads and they have to agree with them, right? Because they are them.
So I guess. I feel like you don't have to agree with the morals of the character.
I guess it's, like, during the scenes you do, I guess, especially if you're a method. But yeah,
maybe she is method. Yeah, maybe she's still in, like,
she's still in it and, like, still, like, fucking she went to go, like, work for a company and shit. Nah, she's not that method, but you know what I mean. Like, I still try to, like, take things with a grain of salt because I feel like people get into their characters way too much.
She definitely got into her character way too much, because I was like, girl, what do you mean you relate? Like, please just say, like, for the role. But she never followed it by, like, for the role. She just said, you know, she did what she had to do. And I'm like, girl, go to therapy. You can afford it, girl. You ain't got no excuses. You got, you know, Hollywood money. You can afford to go to therapy, girl. You got $175 an hour. I think you can do it, girl. No, I mean, overall, the movie, I think, was, I mean, unintentional critique of capitalism, and it really just made me think of White Tiger. I thought I Care a Lot was the hashtag girl boss version of White Tiger, because at least of White Tiger I wasn't mad at anything. I was like, look, he did what he had to do, because I get it. Like, I see it. You showed us how depraved and how fucked up the caste system is, which is real life slavery, you know, and it's not something that went away. So I think that explanation of it was a lot better than whatever kind of lazy, funny thing they were going for in I Care a Lot. Not to say that, like, the actors didn't do their job. They did their fucking job. I hated Marla. Isaac Gonzalez, I was pretty neutral, and I think that's what she was going for, being neutral. Peter Dinklage's character was fucking amazing. Diane Weiss's character was also amazing. She played the fuck out of an older lady who is actually a badass bitch. I mean, I would have snapped that homegirl's neck a long time before she even tried it, but good for her. She acted her ass off, and I think it actually unintentionally also highlighted something I didn't know about state conservatorships. It kind of reminded me of the Britney Spears situation where she had no control of her money.
Hashtag free Britney.
Free Britney forever, y'all. Like, don't get me started. I love her so much. And it's, oof, okay, I'm a, look, just, it's, we always gonna fight for our baby's freedom. And she got it, finally, so shout out to our baby Britney. Anyways, you can tell we're millennials. But yeah, so this movie, overall, love the ending. I hope someone doesn't actually take this idea and run with it, which I'm kind of scared that there's already some, like, hashtag girl boss, white girl with a lot of money going to do this, and that's kind of terrifying. So protect your old people, y'all. Make sure you file that paperwork correctly. Protect the older people in your life. They deserve respect and love, and honestly, our society really needs to get it together on respecting our elders and treating them a little bit better. You know, they're not just there to vote for your conservative ideas. Like, some of them are not conservative and totally deserve, like, to be taken care of. But anyways, I give this movie 3 pan dulces because as much as I hated her character, I also found the movie pretty damn entertaining and fun to watch, as much as I didn't like her. But 3 pan dulces. And the queer thing, honestly, I wasn't mad at how it was just very casual and how their relationship was just there without any explanation, without any kind of anything. It was just existing in its own thing, and I actually appreciate that. It's, to me, that's representation. Just be gay and don't fucking talk about it, and just be as gay as you want. And I appreciated that, but, you know, why did she have to suck? Whatever. 3 pan dulces.
Yeah, I'd probably give it, like, a full cafecito as well. Just because I spent so much time hating that character, and I just think that they really could have gone a different way about it. But that's just me being a fucking snob, baby. I don't know.
No,
I didn't mind it, though. It was never, like, at any point, like, oh, this is fucking boring. It's not boring.
Mm-mm. No, you hate her so much, you just want to see something happen to her. And, you know, go watch it. You'll see it for yourself. It's fantastic at the end.
It'll definitely be, like, you know, Cardi B shouting at the screen, what was the reason?
Ooh, the entire, like, time.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. But yeah. So what are you going to be talking to us about today?
Ooh, I'm going to be talking about Generation.
Ooh.
Generación. It's on HBO Max. And I feel like we transitioned really fast, but so sorry. It premiered on March 11th of this year on HBO Max. It's interestingly enough, I knew that there was something weird when I saw the names of the producers.
Oh no.
But I didn't realize that the show was created and the pilot was written by a father-daughter duo, which is Daniel and Zelda Barnes. She's 19 and that makes me really angry, but we're gonna move on. And then Ben Barnes also executive produced, and Ben Barnes is Daniel's husband and Zelda's other dad. So yeah, they're all, like, in this together and somehow accidentally fell into an HBO deal. And
suddenly, with Lena Dunham's help.
With the help of Lena Dunham. Yeah, this, like, 19-year-old went and interned for her. Apparently she was part of industry. I didn't know that. Yeah. So Lena Dunham was, like, working on industry. I guess she knew her dad's and was like, yeah, come intern with me while we shoot industry. And then boom, she's a creator of a television show.
Lord.
I love nepotism.
Love it.
The rest of the writers team is kind of diverse. There's a Latina, her name is Cristina Nieves, and there's
shout
a black
out to
woman
her.
Yeah, there's a black woman, her name is Michelle Denise Jackson. And I think Eli Wilson Pelton is biracial. And then there's, like, two other white guys. Anyways, this is what they created.
Oh, man.
A bunch of teens in Orange County go through teenager shit. That's what Generation's about. Yeah. They're very queer, and they're not all white, and they don't spend all of their time talking about not being white, but they do spend a lot of time talking about being queer. So that's pretty much the gist of it. That's like the least spoiler that I'm gonna get, and I'm still gonna be not spoilery for a while, but I'm gonna be getting into the characters. We talked about this a little bit already, but not in the episode maybe, but the first episode did not sell me at all. Mm-mm. It's a really good thing that they released three episodes off the bat, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch all three of these episodes. And it's, they're short, they're like 30 37 minute episodes, something like that. The main character is Chester. It's played by Justice Smith. You might recognize him from Detective Pikachu or yes. The Get Down. Yes. And I love that that's where he's from, and I can't stop seeing Detective Pikachu.
Me either.
he's a biracial man who came out as queer last year, and so far it doesn't seem to have hurt his career. And consider, you know, he's going to be in Jurassic World soon. That's a big film, I guess.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. He's not, like, dead on arrival here. That's great. So he's interesting, right? Because he felt forced in a lot of ways to me. I felt like a lot of the things he's saying were forced. He's not, like, not nuanced. He's not two-dimensional. I don't think that. But I just think that they have him saying these, like, 2016 basic-ass shit, like, yas, queen, and, like, working to get attention, like, by being really out of dress code for no reason. Because he's this, like, he's a star athlete. Like, he has a lot of straight friends. It's not like he's being, like, necessarily, like, persecuted by people off the bat, right? Because it's 2021 in this fucking world, right?
He's super popular.
Yeah, very super popular. Loved. And he's kind of like, they make him out to be like this gay male version of a manic pixie dream girl trope.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The way that everybody's always staring at him, but he's so mysterious, but blah, blah, blah. He loves rooftops.
He's a Scorpio.
And he's smart, and he's conscious of, like, the dying world around him, and he knows about injustice. And yet, he reverts to this really basicness when it comes to love and men. Mm. And I'll get back to that.
Yeah, poor Chester.
All right, so moving on super quick. My favorite character, and I'm sure that you're going to jump right on this, is Greta.
Yes!
In the pilot, we see Chester's story, we see Greta's story, we see pretty much most of the main character's stories, and we keep going back in time in the same day to have the same shit happen in a new perspective. And I guess they want to be creative by doing that.
You said, I guess.
It was fine. I'm just glad that they didn't keep doing it after episode one. Mm. Another stylistic editing choice was that at the top of every episode, you see what's going to happen at the end, but only in bits and pieces. So there's like a separate overarching plot that's a part of the plot. Yeah, anyways. It was fine. It was cool. I get it. Like, because the whole time you're thinking, like, which one is it? Who is it? And it has, like, this mysterious type of thing in it, but it's not, like, that big of a deal. Back to Greta. She's played by Haley Sanchez. The character is a queer Latina. It's not really a spoiler at all. She's very shy. She has an overbearing mother. The whole, like, Mexican Latina package, like, that's exactly for everybody's fucking life. Except in her case, like, her mom isn't around. And her tia Ana is. Ana is played by Nava Mao, who's a trans Latina, and she's very overly supportive of her niece's queerness, and I love her.
I love her. She's amazing.
And of course, she's like listening to like Paulina Rubio, and whenever like Greta runs into them, she says "chingada," and so some of the stuff I was like, okay, whatever, but they stick to it, and I respect that. Moving on for now. Mm-hmm. The next perspective is from one half of the two most annoying twins in the fucking world.
God.
Oh, God.
Oh, they were so unbearable.
They're unbearable. Naomi and Nathan, who I guess were, like, kind of attached to the hip until Nathan, the guy, started hiding shit. And I can't stand either of them, and I wish that their time was donated to Riley. But one thing that I guess I kind of gathered is that Naomi reminds me the most of Lena Dunham. So I'm like, that's the Lena Dunham character, isn't it? Mm. Like, privileged chic. I don't know. But Riley, who should have gotten their screen time, is this photographer who is played by Chase Sui Wonders. And she's Nathan's best friend. She's kind of like low-key a matchmaker who's afraid of her own feelings. Not to be mistaken with her queerness. I don't think she gives a shit about that. I think she just doesn't want to feel shit. Or she's afraid of it. We don't get enough of her perspective is the point. And she's naturally observant because of the photographer thing, but I don't think that should have meant that we don't get to look at her life. Yeah. But whatever.
We didn't get anything, really.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, I struggle. With what?
You're rich. You live in the pool house. Calm down.
Yeah. Anyways, other less featured characters include Delilah, who's like the wokest girl in the world. She's Asian. Jay, a really nice boy. I believe he's Southeast Asian. Don't know anything about him. He barely talks. Ariana, who's like this really fucking problematic girl, who does a lot of really outlandish shit and frequently talks about having two gay dads. I think that's like the Zelda character, which I'm like, why would you make a character about yourself that's literally awful? I don't know.
Yeah, she's
she was funny though. Kind of. It's like you're laughing at her though, so it's kind of sad.
Yeah, no, you don't enjoy what she's saying. You're just like, please stop.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess, you know, they've tried to flip the script because, you know, if it's her and her two gay dads, which is what the executive producers all are, like, they made the daughter and one of the dads black. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that was very well thought out there.
It comes into play kind of at the very end. But yeah, I don't know. This is kind of one of those shows where not a lot of shit happens. Like, very little plot kind of happens. There's just a lot of gay jargon and like loud sighs and like sadness and shit. I feel like I'm dragging it a lot, so I kind of want to move into the spoilery section of this review so we can talk about things that we like. So that's gonna happen right now. If you don't want to hear it, then don't. So back to Greta and Riley though.
Oh my god, what? I saw that coming.
It was cute. Yeah, it's immediate, right? Like, they don't try to hide it. This is going to be, like, a thing between them two. Like, Greta's clearly very, like smitten, and she's awkward, and she's not cool. Like, she's not, but she is. She's one. It's like, she doesn't know it, and I think Riley kind of starts to see, like, this girl's, like, really authentic, really, like, this, but around me, she's kind of a bumbling dummy because she's, like, because she's nervous.
Representation matters.
But she has, like, the big bushy hair and like the plaid shirts and all of like the Latina like aesthetic from that's kind of a Latina aesthetic from like back in the day, so I don't know if it still actually lives on today or if we just are pretending that it does. I don't know.
You know what I noticed with the show is that like it felt like they were kind of giving me the wrong age group. Like, I thought they felt more like millennials than anything else.
None of the, like, the way that they speak doesn't feel very at all. Like, it feels like a 2000s show. Not even 2010s, 2000s show.
Like we were that. Like, it's us. Like, they're millennials in high school versus, like, you know, I don't think Gen Z is like this at all. Like, they're wrong.
Yeah, I just don't get it. You just go on TikTok for a few hours, you'll know Gen Z.
Yeah, that's why I was like, they're really getting the wrong generation here. Like, this is us. Like, this is, like, you know.
Yeah. They really thought that, like, having one 19-year-old, like, right for the show was going to fix that. Like, their lack of understanding of this generation. It didn't work.
Their use of, like, Instagram and stuff. Like, I'm like, no, these kids are just on TikTok now at this point. Like,
well, they're on Snapchat. I've learned that about Gen Z. They love Snapchat.
Still. Right. But, like, the Instagram thing and just like what they were saying, I'm just like, no one talks like that anymore except people
they
our age.
Don't talk like that. I talk like that. I'm supposed to talk like that. I have a side part, you know.
Yeah like we have side parts and we wear skinny jeans, so I'm very confused. Like, these kids are just, I don't know, they're watching pimple pop videos and I'm like, I don't think I think the other kids are getting like woke off Twitter and like woke off TikTok and judging everything and being, you know, but it's very millennial.
Yeah, it missed the mark a little bit there. But yeah, obviously Greta and Riley really like caught my attention. Like, they went the slow burn route. I think it was a bit realistic in that it's always like one that's like a total fucking simp, and then there's other one that's like like too cool to be a simp, you know, but
kind
then
of
like
a player.
But the switch always like flips, you know. Like, yeah, so I didn't mind it at all. I got very, very angry at how it sort of ended up though.
Do you want to talk about that? Like, should we, since we're spoiling it, like, yeah, do you want to talk about
that? We can talk about it because like they're like building it up and they're getting to this point and they literally like off a fucking miracle, end up in a hotel room together alone. Like, they have an LGBTQ like club and they think that putting people in the same gender. Anyways,
I mean, I wish like that would. Yeah, been this amazing. Is like
somebody's fucking dream, and it makes me too mad. You talk about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of liked that we weren't, but they kind of weren't afraid. You know, I'm kind of anti like watching high schoolers do sex things. So I was kind of into how that turned out. Because
that you didn't see it. Yeah
I don't want to see teenagers smash, so I skipped over a lot of like scenes of teenagers kissing because I was just like, okay, I'm really tired of high schoolers doing things because I'm too old. I'm 30. I don't want to see any of this shit. So I fast forward a lot of the cringy white people moments and then the cringy kids touching each other moments. But of course, I paid attention to Greta and Riley because I was like, okay, I want something to happen, but I also wanted to be cut off. I don't want to really see it. And then it seems like Greta cock-blocked herself because she's actually emotionally open to something real versus Riley is on her fuckboy shit. And then at the same time, I think she realizes she has real feelings and then she dips off and is scared of them and fucks around with old girl. And I'm just like, I'm glad I didn't see it. I'm glad it didn't happen. But I'm really upset that all of the other things happened. Like, it was confusing.
Yeah, it was just hard because, like, the whole time they're... like, there's all these, like, self-made obstacles. Like I said, not a lot happens in the show. They just kind of block themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they're finally, like, connecting. And then each of their, like, big, like, issues comes into play immediately. Greta being, like, this is too much. They're both afraid. To be honest, like, they're both very afraid.
And yeah, of opposite things, right?
Yeah. So it was interesting. I guess I was just mad because I'm, like... you know, I want the happy stories, and the happy stories don't really happen.
No.
But
I just wanted
whatever.
Them to
they
be...
were still cute. I just like Greta and her whole character.
Greta's so relatable. I just, and everything about her.
I don't know if you heard, like, Fabi's banter on one of the latest Latinos Who Lunches, where he talks about how, and this is exactly what I was ranting to my roommate about, but they have a character who works, like, out in the fields and, like, the central California, and like he's speaking in Spanish, but I swear to God, he speaks like I speak Spanish, or like my little brother who's not very good at speaking Spanish speaks Spanish. Like, you really want me to believe that this dude's first language is like, or like, isn't English? Please. So casting left something to be desired. Greta was great though, but
Greta's character, fantastic. That guy selling, like, was it fruit? It just didn't work. They need to hire a consultant or just let Greta be like, nah, like, he's obviously, like, second generation. Like, can't you actually just, like, get a dude down the street and be like, hey, I'll give you $150 to be in this, say, four words. Cool. Thank you. That's all you gotta do.
Like, well, there's people to hire. Like, they didn't even try. They were like, oh, he speaks Spanish. Should we, like, maybe check into what kind of Spanish he speaks? No. Okay.
Yeah, he says he's bilingual. Let's go. And it's like, no, there's like a shit ton of TikTok videos where it's like, you can tell that the Spanglish is forced and there's a correct way to speak Spanglish. And he just was not doing it. And it was just bad. No, I mean, and you know, not everyone has to speak, you know, perfect Spanish in the real world. But this is like a true, like, I don't know, example of, like, who's running the show. Like, you saw in that moment, you're like, oh, no, y'all need to hire better people because this ain't it. Like,
no, I can't.
Yeah, it's bad.
You can also tell that the budget, like, ran out because they couldn't actually go to San Francisco. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. But there was ostriches? I don't know. It's the whole thing. It was just...
they literally were like, let's just wing it. But... the other thing other than Greta and Riley that I really liked was there being an actual responsible older gay man as a counselor, the opposite of a creep. Like,
yes,
this, okay, this is also a bit spoilery, but Chester has this new guidance counselor who he's concerning a lot, and he's like, he's a queer man who is on the dating apps, and Chester finds him on the dating apps, but of course he's not going to show his face and he's pretending to be 26. So he's talking to this guidance counselor because he like connects with him, because if we're being honest, obviously Chester is just not like as mature as he thinks he is. He just thinks that he, right, like, he has this idea of himself. But like, it felt so off to me because Chester is very like, he knows better. He knows that he shouldn't be trying to hook up with a guy 10 years his senior and he's a child.
Yeah.
But he still does this.
I was gonna say, like, that was like another surprising thing about the show that I found great, because the entire time up until that point where you see how the guidance counselor reacts to Chester, you think maybe something could be happening, but because they do have chemistry, but you don't want it to exist, right? Because you're like, please don't give me a creeper, and please don't. And he's like the only queer like black man who's centered. So, because Chester's a biracial queer black man, so it's just, there's layers to this, and I don't want the one adult queer black man to be a creeper. And he didn't end up being one, and I was like, oh, thank you, God. I didn't have to see Greta do weird sex things, even though everyone else did, and I didn't need to see that either. But, but you get his, like, you actually get to see him be a good person. And I think it's rare, and it kind of caught me off guard in a very, very good way. I was happy.
Yeah, I love that character because I paid like really close attention to it, because I didn't, you know, I wanted to see each moment for what it was. And throughout the entire thing, like, he you know, he was honest about how he felt. He was like, I wish I was more like you when I was younger. But he's completely respectful. Whenever like Chester tries to get his attention physically, whenever he tries to do this and that, he always goes a very professional route. And yes, he's relatable more than like most outdated like cringy counselors are, but he doesn't cross the line, not really. So it was great. It was a great representation of a person. Top two characters for sure, Greta and Sam.
Yes.
Amazing. And Chester, I hope he grows. I hope that they really take advantage, because they're definitely going to get renewed, because it's fucking Lena Dunham and a bunch of other white people. They're going to get renewed, and hopefully, like, we're going to get more out of Greta Riley. I feel like Sam's probably on his way out, which is sad, but I get it.
Yeah, you can't. You have to physically remove yourself, and I feel like he's responsible enough to physically remove himself from that situation, because that's jail. Like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Other than that, the whole like storyline about the girl having like a whole ass baby without anybody like realizing she was pregnant, that was wild. But
yeah.
But apparently not like something that doesn't happen, so it was interesting.
Yeah, and the fact that she somehow was able to like give birth naturally,
you know, keep it alive, keep somehow it.
And she wasn't doing things like, she was still smoking. I mean, there's just a lot of things where I'm like, girl, you was eating raw fish, like, you weren't supposed to do any of these things. Like, if your baby came out healthy, like, wow, it's some miracle for real.
Miracle.
Some,
yeah,
real, like. But that ending episode was, I don't know, I felt like it ended in a strange way for me. Like, I didn't feel like it ended in, it didn't feel like an ending. I guess they said the ending is the beginning or some shit, but whatever.
Definitely. I agree. Obviously, like, Chester is getting proven wrong about, like, his idea that only this person can connect with him. You know, you see Riley being, like, you know, more emotionally starting to get somewhere. Yeah. So it's like everyone's starting to get somewhere, but they don't get there, which sucks, but whatever.
Yeah.
Season two, I guess, is with an expectation. Like, I think it's when, if they do it right, it's going to be one of those things where the first season sucks and then the rest of it's really good.
Yeah, the first season is a lot left to be desired, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Did you see the trailers for this show? They make it seem so, like, oh, like, teenagers, they have this wild life. It's so magical. And then you, like, watch the show and it's just all awkward and cringy and weird.
But, I mean, that's, like, how real teenagers are. I feel like they're a little bit more on the nose than Euphoria.
Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're not the same.
No. Some of these kids actually look like 18, 17 versus, I mean, I know Justice is like 24, 25, but
he's 25, but yeah, he looks young.
He looks young. He's pretty, so he can get away with it. But everyone else is just like awkward and dopey, and that's correct. But there's a lot there, and I really hated some of the characters. Most of the characters other than Greta and Riley and of course Chester, who he's gonna be great if this shit gets renewed, and I can't wait. I'm excited for it to get better, hopefully, and less screen time for the twins.
Ugh. God, just like get rid of them.
We don't need their story or their point of view at all. They're just so basic, and nothing that they said sounded like anything a Gen Z would say. So I'm just like, these are just annoying millennials that we all know. Like, we've met these people, we're good. But yeah,
we'll see what happens. I guess I give it like, God, it's hard. It's like I just want to rate it only on Greta and Riley. Oh, so in that case, 500 cafitos. No, I'm just kidding. I guess like this is a hard thing to rate. It is. It kept me interested. I watched every episode like on time. I guess just like half a cafecito. And all of that is because of all the executive producers and Lena Dunham.
Yeah, they're the reason.
And the twins.
Oh, God. Because of all of that, I give it the same rating as I Care a Lot, because as much as I want Greta and Riley and Chester to save the show, they're all three of those panduzas, and the rest of them, oh, Lord. But hopefully, you know, if I could just rate Greta alone, they did really good writing on her and her family. That felt very real, and I felt like you could really tell the difference between the socioeconomic statuses of the kids. I feel like they got Greta's situation correct in so many ways. And it was even like a conversation about chile rellenos, and it was right. Like, I was listening to them talk about how they make it, and I was like, wait, hold up now. That sounds right. So whoever's writing for Greta and that family, they're doing a good job. Them only.
Shout out to Christina.
Shout out to Christina. She's doing a good job. Shout out to her. Hire her again. She knows what the fuck she's doing. And y'all need to hire consultants, because, honey, he did not speak, you know, I just crossed anything just to get here, Spanish, okay? He don't have to be Mexican, but that ain't right. That's not it.
Yeah. And then, like, they could, like, the whole, there was one scene that made me cringe a little bit, just super quick. Mm-hmm. The sana sana culita de rana scene where, like, she's like, oh, my mom has this old saying. I'm like, no, all of Latin America has this saying,
like,
sir.
Girl, do you not have Latino friends? Like, where are your Latinx friends?
She doesn't. Like, well, actually, I think they, like, slightly show them in the first episode, but not really. Like, this is, like, dumb thing.
Yeah, there needs to be more, like, more Greta's existing. She can't be the only one. I'm sorry, that's just not realistic in California. Let's keep it real.
In Southern California and Orange County. But,
like, there's a whole working class, honey. They, anyways.
But I get it. They tried to check as many boxes as possible.
We don't need to check all them twin boxes. Anyways. But, yeah. Anyways.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We should probably do some Patreon shout-outs. Let's do it. Because it's been a while.
All right, y'all. So we just want to give some shout-outs to our Patreon supporters. We love y'all. Thank you for your patience while I was trying to get my shit together in my head. But new Patreon stuff is coming for you. And if you want a reading, I'll message you on Patreon so I can find out the location of where you're born, so I can get your full birth chart to you. And I'll read it out to you if you'd like. Okay, so shout out to Concha Game. I want to give a shout out to Marissa, Valerie, Kikis, Michelle, Rosaura, my brother or brother Beto, Chrissy, Marimar, and Raciel. I love y'all. And if y'all didn't know, Raciel has his own podcast. It's called Shit You Don't Care About. They're also on YouTube, so you can watch their funny faces while they do anything. It's great. And also shout out to Arcoiris Gang. Shout out to R. Shout out to Aaron. Shout out to Glow. Love y'all so much. Thank you for your fucking money. It means everything. It helps keep the lights on. It helps keep everything moving. So we appreciate y'all so much. And thank you for the money.
On Cafecito Gang, we have the Justin Favela. Thanks, Fabi. Baby Dojo Negoro and Edith, Chris, Noel, our day one, Alicia, another day one. Mm-hmm. And then on Arcoiris Gang, we also have Sarah, Marisa, and Mireya. Maria's former Cafecito Gang, too, so shout out to all of these people. Thank you so much for supporting. I know it's been a dry couple of months, but like Fred Revita said, stuff is coming, and I think we're back. I think we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
We can do it.
We're queer. We're making it pop.
anyways, can't wait to see and hold all of you once we're vaccinated. All right, bye guys.
Bye.